And would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 66 CE, Simon Bar Giora predicts the end of time via the redemption of Israel during the Jewish uprisings against the Romans. 365 CE, Hilary of Poitiers, a French bishop, announces that the world will end. 500 CE, Hippolytus, Sextus Julius, Africanus, and Irenaeus predict the return of Jesus based on the dimensions of Noah's Ark. Later, Sextus Julius Africanus amends this to be the year 800, a mathematical error. Gregory of Tours, Pope Innocent III, Martin Luther, our very own Cotton Mather predicted the end of the world three separate times. Peter Tuttle, a modern-day astronomer, has predicted that WR105, a triple star, is expected to explode in a supernova that will produce a gamma ray that will end Earth, if and only if the Earth is at the right axial angle at that moment. This will happen, of course, in the year 300,000 CE. We will not be here for that. Rapture talk, a TikTok trend, spread the word that the world would end on September 23rd, 2025. I don't even know what I was doing that day. A 2022 Pew poll found that four in 10 Americans believe that we are living in the end times. Rumors of the apocalypse are loudest when one way of life threatens to overtake another. Dispensationalist theology, which is a literalist reading of the Bible, which popularized the concept of the rapture, rose in the mid-19th century in Britain as the Industrial Revolution transformed all of British society. This sort of popular thinking might be what you think of when you hear of the rapture. That same sort of thinking took hold in the United States right after the Civil War. There has not been a generation in recorded history when people were not predicting the end. We all want to know where all of this is headed. We especially want to know when it seems that all is lost, or at least when all seems to be beyond human redeeming. The disciples, they wanted to know too. Jesus had just come out of the Jerusalem temple after having properly screamed at the officials inside of it. Then he looks outside with the disciples at the buildings of the temples and he says, "You see all these, do you not? Truly, I tell you, not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." The disciples ask, "When? When will it be?" And Jesus warns them. Many false messiahs will come. Nations will rise against nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars. They will hand you over to be tortured and put to death. The love of many will grow cold. But as for the day, no one knows. No one, only that the Gospel of Matthew was written around AD CE, 10 years after the Roman siege of Jerusalem lay waste to the second temple. That same temple that in this story Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. When these words in the Gospel of Matthew were written, the temple was already a pile of stones. And the people were once again left with the question, will we rise from these ashes? Will justice ever prevail? Do we ever get to be safe? No one knew. You see, the future is not ours. We do not know what terrors lay in wait for us or what preposterous hope the future has in store. The future is not our purview. We do not know the hour or the day, the beginning and ending of time. That is not under the control of humankind. The future of a single human life is uncertain, let alone the future of all that is. Our text today does turn our eyes toward the end horizon of time, but only to properly orient our agendas in the here and the now. Time itself may come to a halt. All that you know will change. And so for now, the directive is clear. Stay awake. Keep watch. The need of the hour is enough. Today is our human purview. 20th century theologian Karl Barth put it like this: we live between the times, between the beginning of time and before the end, between the birth of Jesus and the time in which mourning and crying and pain will be no more, between the moment in which we took our first breath and the moment in which we will take our last. Living between the times. That is the human assignment. In the reading today, the examples that the author uses point us to the most ordinary of scenes. Two workers in a field, two women grinding flour, a person in their own home. Work and food and shelter, the most ordinary of places where life is lived, where worlds begin and where worlds end. It's here in the region of the mundane that our faithfulness is to be lived out, here in our daily lives that we are called to a spirit of wakefulness. It is here where God has given us the work that is ours to do, loving our neighbors. Jesus said of those days that when the temple was but a pile of stones, that the love of many grew cold. When it seems like the world is ending all around us, when it seems like all is lost, how might we not let our love grow cold? How might we keep a fire of love burning inside us? How might we kindle a flame to shelter our neighbors from the cold of injustice? Loving our neighbors means more than the saccharine words of devotion. To love our neighbors well, we must do what Latin American liberation theology calls reading the signs of the times. Asking, what is happening in our lives? In the lives of our neighbors, what is keeping us up at night and what is driving that? What political and communal circumstances are impinging on the lives of the children of God? What forces of policy and culture are impacting the daily lives of the poorest among us? And where is hope? Where is hope arising like a lullaby sung by an unwed refugee mother to her newborn baby boy? Where is life persisting despite the crush of death-dealing systems? Reading the signs of the times is not some unembodied analysis relegated to ivory towers of the intellectual elite. No. We read the signs of the times through the lives of ordinary people. Theologian Ara Maria Sassi Diaz describes lo quotidiano, the quotidian, as the space in which God is redeeming the world. Lo quotidiano is where the sacred meets us. The sacred has to meet us there because there is no other place, not for us now anyhow. Just these lives that we are living in, these bodies that we have been given in the time in which we are alive. In la lucha, in the struggles of daily life for bread and for justice, for clean water and childcare, for roofs over our heads and for peace in our communities. If we stay awake, God will meet us here in lo quotidiano, not outside of the struggles of our lives, but precisely in the midst of them. But we will only see it if we move with a holy attention, one that cultivates space for an excess of meaning in every small act of love, every daily work of resistance to the powers of evil, every ounce of tenderness that we share. Only if we make time for the work that really matters. Only if we leave space for the Holy One to interrupt our previously precisely planned days, our precisely planned church calendars. Only if we leave space will we see God entering in. God is here, being born, turning the world around right among us. So keep watch. Stay awake. Stay awake as ICE agents flood yet another American city. Stay awake as rising healthcare premiums will cause our elders to choose between food and medicine. Stay awake as political rhetoric grows more violent every day. Stay awake as another fishing boat is bombed off the coast of Venezuela. Stay awake. Stay awake and hear the whistles and shouts of everyday people protecting their neighbors. Stay awake and see the networks of mutual aid and food pantries rise to feed America. Stay awake and touch the grass. Listen to the waves for a wisdom beyond human reason. Stay awake and see the kingdom coming even as the world seems to be ending. Stay awake and find God reaching through the veil of eternity to look you in the eyes through the eyes of your neighbors. Stay awake and hear the songs of the heavens echoing in the marches in our cities. Stay awake and feel the healing touch of Jesus as you reach your hand out to a stranger. We don't know. We don't know how it will all end, just that it will. Or at the very least that we will. We don't know the day or the hour. What we have is now, this time to give what we can to the work of love, this time to stay awake, to watch in wonder and in awe as God's own kingdom breaks through in lo quotidiano. Just as God came into this world as a tiny baby boy born to an unwed refugee mother, God is being born now, now and forevermore, right in the very midst of us. If we would only stay awake. Keep watch, people of God, for God is being born among us. Amen.